Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we're going to preview UFC 264, Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier trilogy fight this Saturday night. We're doing the watch-along on Saturday. We're doing the preview now!
Jesus.
Yeah.
What?
I'm excited!
Ah! This is what you get for 2 weeks off, man. 2 weeks, we like took it easy, got some sun, some fun.
Yeah.
No COVID.
Yeah. Well, that we know
we're good, man.
Yeah, I haven't been tested, but who knows? Yeah, we're back. It's good to be back. It's good to see Fred and AJ again. What's up, guys? I feel like I talk to you guys every day, though. We're always chatting on the group chat.
Yeah, we're always chatting.
There's always stuff going on. AJ rocking the Italia jersey. AJ running wild right now. So excited for his Italia team in the Euro Cup finals on Sunday.
Welcome.
Drop that mic, AJ. Get out of here. Blocked. AJ, you just got blocked by me. Blocked.
Man. Listen, man, it's been an exciting
fake news.
Like,
that's right, Fred.
Fake
news. Yeah, AJ's going to be doing Italy things. But the most on Sunday against England, right? So that's pretty massive, Italy-England Euro Cup final. My goodness.
That's a classic match, man.
Yeah,
that's
the only way
it
would be better is if France was in. You know, it'd be much better, obviously. But
listen, man, France, it's a disappointment. Like, you know, I really had a lot of expectations for France to be in the final above England. I knew England had a great team. I thought France was going to be in the final. They blew it in their last game.
You know, it couldn't have been France and Italy, eh?
Yeah,
man, it would have been amazing.
They were in the same bracket.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It couldn't happen.
If France kept going, they would have faced off in the semifinals.
Listen, look, France, man, it would have been that would have been a tough game for Italy, man. Like I said, France, I had a lot of expectations for them, but here comes England, man, and I thought England played extremely well in their last game, especially in the second half. Man, they were just controlling the ball so well.
Right.
But what's crazy is that this game is going to happen in England, man, in Wembley Stadium. It's going to be insane. Proper 12 all over the place on Sunday. You know that,
The big sporting event on the weekend is not the Euro Cup final. It is Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier on Saturday night, UFC 264, the return of the Mac. Sing it, AJ. Sing Return of the Mac. You know
Proper.
That song? Oh, yeah. Return of the Mac. That's right, Freddie. Freddie knows what I'm talking about. Angelo says, ready for Sunday, AJ?
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Angelo dropping the super chat. Thank you, Angelo, supporting the team. You are the super chat leader so far tonight. Shout out to Angelo. Of course, AJ is ready for Sunday. Italy versus England.
Well, I'm ready for two things. Because of Freddie's little guy, little Alfred's birthday. It's his first birthday coming up. And you know, what more can you ask? I should buy little Alfred a little Italian jersey. That's what I should do.
Fred, what do you call Alfred for short? You call him Al? You call him Fred?
Alfie.
You call him Alfie? What's the short for Alfred? What you call him? You just call him Alfred all the time? What do?
I call him Big Boy. I'm calling him my big little man. I call him. My girlfriend will call him Alfie.
Yeah.
Alfie. Yeah.
Alfie.
I like Alfie, man.
He's my big little
Very
man.
Italian.
That's what I call him right now.
Alley boy.
I mean, he's 1 year old, man. He doesn't answer back, but he's my big boy. That's what I call him.
Isn't it crazy? Like, listen, not to like, just thinking about that, he's going to be 1 year old, and it feels like yesterday with us talking about Freddie going to the hospital and the setup for the baby and all that. It just seems like yesterday, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's a COVID baby, man. That's why. Is that insane or what, guys?
Yeah, that is wild.
It really is, man. Time flies, man. Fucking COVID, man.
AJ really doesn't want to talk about Conor McGregor tonight. He wants to talk about anything but Conor McGregor.
I set it up with a proper 12 at Wembley on Sunday, man. Listen, given fact,
I don't even understand what that's supposed to mean.
Like, clear as a whistle.
Didn't he sell proper 12 also?
Like he doesn't even own Proper 12 no more. He sold it.
I think he has shares, man. I think he still has shares in there because he's still doing
maybe
commercials, and he's still doing like he's still the face of Proper 12. But what I did find out quite interesting is like, why does he always have 12? Like, why 12? You know, I don't know. But I do know one thing is that the fight. Listen,
I was expecting an answer here.
Listen. No, there's no answer. But what I
thought it was a rhetorical question.
He just goes, I don't know. And then that's it. That's all you had. You're done at that point.
Listen, I was trying to set it up with this, man, with a punchline. But this is what it's going to be. On Saturday, it's going to be his 12th main event fight in his career. Think about it, man. He showcased 12 main events, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a proper 12 beating on Saturday night. It's going to be a blockbuster. He's going to break all pay-per-view records through the roof. Connor is going to be Proper 12 on this Saturday.
Wally Byrne, my main man.
But I don't know why he calls it 12.
I know why, because Wally knows why. Wally is our buddy out in Ireland. He's watching live in Ireland. Thank you, Wally. Watching on Facebook. He says it's 12 because he's from Dublin 12 area code in Dublin. It's the area code.
Thank God for
Wally,
man.
Thank God for Wally. We got the Irish
fans.
International. Shout out to Wally.
Hold on a sec.
We love Wally.
Wait, not only a shout out to Wally, but shout out to Wally, Proper 12. Thanks. That's the thing with Wally, man. If you want to get like anything about information about Coca-Cola, about anything in this world, this guy has one of the best business podcasts in the world. I'm telling you, I listen to Wally's Money to Burn. I listen to his Money to Burn podcast all the time. The guy is like, it's so informative, and I even want to do like a voiceover. I'm actually practicing because I want to send you a voiceover for Money to Burn. And I'm telling you, man, the guy is so informative. He knows everything, and it's amazing. I listen to it almost every day. I learn so much stuff, you know.
Look at that.
So much stuff.
AJ has to go full exaggeration.
No, man, it's Wally, man.
Every day, Wally. I'll call you out on
every
that.
Day.
One.
I don't know.
Every day.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. It is great. Money
I'll
to burn. Go check it out. Money, the number 2, Burn, BYRNE. Go check out Wally's podcast. It is the number 1 business podcast in Ireland. He is number 1 in Ireland. He's got the best podcast out there. He's the man, and he's a good friend of ours, has been for years. And, you know, he started his podcast, I guess, a year or two ago, and it's going really, really well for him. And it's so awesome to see Wally kicking ass in the podcast game. Doesn't surprise me at all. He's a tremendous personality. You meet the guy, you can't help but love the guy, you know? So, Money to Burn. Money, the number 2, Burn, BYRNE. Go check out our boy Wally's podcast, too. If you're into business, you want to know about business. It's the number 1 business podcast in Ireland.
I'm very proud of Wally.
I'm so happy for him. It's so cool. He's the man.
Coach, let me in. I just want to reiterate one thing. I listen to it every day. It's because when I'm at work, I can't listen to the full episode of the podcast. So I listen to little bits of it all the time, man. And I swear, man, it's almost every day.
Yeah, well, there you go. We got a lot of love for Ireland. We got a lot of love for our listeners and viewers out in Ireland. Our boy Wally, of course, you know, and everybody else. I know there's a lot of people out in Ireland that enjoy the show. But I'm sad to tell you that I think this Saturday night, your boy is going down again. Unfortunately, I think Connor's going to lose. I want Connor to win.
Fuck you, Dave.
I think Connor winning is good for the sport. If Connor wins this fight, he could fight Charles Oliveira for the UFC 155-pound title, and a winning Connor McGregor, a successful Connor McGregor, is good for UFC, it's good for MMA, and quite frankly, it's good for us, it's good for the show. The more people are interested in the UFC, the more people are interested in people that talk about the UFC and know about the UFC, so I want to see Connor win because it's good for everybody attached to the sport. He's been great for the sport. He has blazed tremendous trails as far as getting paid for the athletes. He's really done a lot for the UFC fighters, more than a lot of the fighters want to give him credit for. However, I think that he has stepped away from MMA for too long. And he even talked about it coming into this fight here with Dustin Poirier The last time he prepared for Poirier, he was really preparing for Manny Pacquiao. He was overlooking Dustin Poirier. He was in the boxing world. He was basically training for a boxing match, even though he had Dustin Poirier ahead of him. He knocked out Poirier the first time, and I think he took him lightly the second time. I think he's going to take him way more seriously this time, but is it enough? Is it enough to get over the hump? And can he catch up enough in the time that he's been given since the last fight to make it through and beat Dustin Poirier here again? I don't know if he can, because I think he was away from the game for too long. I think he may have lost a step. And I hear what Connor's saying. I've seen a couple interviews, a Stephen A. Smith interview, the Helwani interview. I've seen Connor talk, and he's saying the right things. He's aggressive again. He's not Mr. Nice Guy with Dustin Poirier. He's talking about taking him out on a stretcher. That's how he's going to leave the octagon. He's going to smoke him.
Body.
He's going to destroy him. He's just a corpse in front of me, all that stuff. He's saying a lot of the right things, but I don't know if he's had enough time to catch back up. I think he left the sport for too long, and Poirier kept at it, and now it maybe has gone a little bit too far ahead of Connor, and he might not be able to catch up. I hope he can.
He's got
tremendous boxing. His hands are great. You saw in the first fight, he stung Dustin Poirier. He definitely hurt him. He could hurt him again and put him away again, like he did in the first fight. But I think, you know, Dustin is just a well-rounded mixed martial artist. He can do a lot of different things to Connor. He could take him down and smother him for a little bit if he wants to. He's got more tools, and I think that's why he's going to win this fight. I think he's just got more tools. Not enough time has passed to convince me that this is a different fight than the last time. They fought in January of this year. It's July. Like, it hasn't been that long, and I don't think Connor's done enough to catch up. I don't think he's had enough time, not enough to convince me we're going to see a different result. Dustin Poirier finished Connor McGregor in 7.5 minutes last time they fought. He put that man down in 7.5 minutes. How is Connor going to come back from that? How does he do that 7 months removed?
Look, man, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to – look, you've got a point, but the second fight that they had, if you looked at the first round, Connor almost took Dustin out. It looked like Connor was dissecting him. The biggest mistake that Connor did was getting into that boxing stance. He didn't get into his usual, like, karate, taekwondo stance that he can check that leg. He left it loose as a fucking wet noodle, and that was the problem. So as soon as Dustin was kicking him on the inside calf, on the outside calf, he started to do damage, and I couldn't understand how, like, what where Connor's mind was. He was just so focused in trying to knock him out, which he was going to do. If that leg didn't give out on him, Connor was winning that fight. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at, like, some of the fighters that are calling this fight, you're looking at Khabib, you're looking at George St. Pierre, you know who they're going for? Khabib says that Connor, if he wins this fight, it's going to be in the first round. He thinks if it goes into the second, third, further, it might be a different story. But he's giving it to Connor first round. George St. Pierre is coming out, and he's giving it to a second round knockout for Connor. So you know what? I'm looking at a lot of other fighters. Most fighters are going against Connor. They're all going against Dustin Poirier. But the two main legends, man, are going with Connor, man. So you know what? I agree with you. Connor messed up in the second fight. But he looked good, and he looked good against Cowboy Cerrone. And Connor always looks good when he returns. Ask Diaz. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I always pick Connor. I always pick Connor because I can see this guy. One thing with Connor is, since he was like 12 years old, man, getting a beating in Ireland on the streets, there's one thing that people notice. And he himself said, even when he was fighting as a kid, he would analyze his fights and look at the wins and the losses and look and see what he has to do differently. And he's going to do the same thing on Saturday night. I love Dustin Poirier. I've seen him since the days of Fightville, where this guy came up from the ranks of nothing to get where he is. Dustin Poirier is a success story, and so is Conor McGregor. He's a success story. Like him or hate him, the guy's brought more news to combat sports than any other athlete in the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years. Forget about Mayweather and fucking Logan Paul and Jake Paul. Yeah, they brought a lot of news. But Conor brings real news, real combat news. And he did it in boxing, he did it in MMA, and he's going to do it again on Saturday night. I don't think Conor's career is going to be that much longer, dude. I think he's going to come back. And if he does win on Saturday, he's got that title. He has that title chance. And it's going to happen. That's proper 12 to you. Huawei!
AJ had 2 weeks of thoughts to speak out, so we just let him, man. That's
it.
That's the best.
Too, man. Not COVID.
And I'm gonna say, like, I tend to agree with Dave, where I like how you analyze the thing where it's only been a couple of months, and can Conor really put himself in the type of shape to fight like elite fighters? Because Dustin Poirier is an elite fighter. But I do think Conor's a better fighter, but is he at that elite fighter right now? So that's where I'm not convinced. I'm going to go a little bit with Dave. You know, Conor's dangerous for the first round. I could see him knocking Dustin out if he gets a good shot. I don't know about the whole boxing stance, if that's the reason why he got hit in the legs. I'll be interested to see if Dustin is able to attack the legs, because if he does, I think it's going to become again an issue. Where I think those leg kicks, it comes, you know, with durability from getting used to hitting the legs, from learning how to check them. If you don't train enough on that aspect, I think that's where your legs could become vulnerable. So we'll see. I tend to think, like Dave said, Poirier is going to win. If this fight goes past the second round, I definitely got Dustin Poirier. Whether it's by decision or a knockout, Dustin is going to get that win. Conor is dangerous for a round or two.
See, that's interesting, Fred. You know, you talk about the fight going the distance. I could see this fight going a many number of different ways. Right now, Conor McGregor is a slight underdog, plus 110 on most fight sports books. Poirier, minus 130, the favorite. And I agree with those odds. I think Conor should be a slight underdog. Not to say that Conor can't win this fight. I think, you know, you look at the Nate Diaz fight and what happened there. He fought Nate in March of 2016, lost by submission in the second round. Not dissimilar to the Dustin Poirier fight, where he came in and he chased the knockout and he looked to finish Nate quickly. You know, and he did that with Dustin Poirier. He almost didn't give a lot of respect to Nate Diaz, not because he didn't respect Nate Diaz, but if you look at Conor at the time, he'd been undefeated in the UFC, and the fight that he just had was against Jose Aldo when he knocked him out in 13 seconds. So Conor came into that Nate Diaz fight thinking he was unstoppable. He chased the knockout. He realized in that fight he wasn't unstoppable, came back after losing by submission in the second round in March, comes back in August of the same year, and fights a much more methodical, smarter approach to the fight and gets it done, winning a decision over five rounds. And I could see Conor coming out with a very similar style to the second Diaz fight, where he realizes this guy is dangerous. I can't just run through him. I'm going to have to pick my shots. If I can get the knockout, I'll get the knockout. But if not, I'll just be happy beating him over five rounds and getting the W. I think getting the W is the most important thing, win at all costs right now for Conor McGregor. If Conor McGregor wins this fight, he fights Charles Oliveira for the UFC championship. If he loses this fight, then you can say, okay, there's a Diaz fight, there's maybe a Masvidal fight, there's maybe, you know, super fights with kind of name guys, but he's no longer in the upper echelon of any kind of division. He's not being talked about in the world championship status. And when that happens, you know it's the beginning of the end for his career. He goes on, say he fights Diaz in a meaningless fight for some made-up title. He wins, he loses. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's a money fight, and that's what Conor is. He's a sideshow. He's a Logan Paul-type fighter in the UFC or outside of the UFC. Whatever he is, he's not a championship-caliber fighter anymore. So he needs to win this fight to stay relevant, because that sideshow stuff, he can do that stuff when he's 35 or 40 or whatever. But if he can run this stretch and stay on top now, then he prolongs his career. He prolongs his marketability by several years. Like, if he can win this fight beat Charles Oliveira, all of a sudden, Conor's a world champion again. All of a sudden, he's best in the world again. People are coming after him. And if he does lose to the next whoever, Islam Makhachev or whoever the hell's going to come after Conor after that, you know, that's fine. And then he can have a rematch with him. It just, it stretches it out, right? But if he loses here again to Poirier, it's kind of the end of Conor being a top-level UFC fighter. You kind of recognize, you know, it's not really going to happen anymore. So Conor, he doesn't need a knockout. He doesn't need a submission. He doesn't need anything. He just needs a win. He just needs to come out of this fight victorious over Dustin Poirier to prolong his money-making ability in this sport. And I think he could do it. I think he can knock Poirier out in the first round. I think he could beat him over five rounds. But I also think that Dustin Poirier could do the exact same thing to Conor. I think Poirier could knock him out in the first, in the second, in the third, whatever. He could also beat him over five rounds and beat him by decision. And that's where I'm at with this fight. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure because my mind says Poirier just fucking beat him 6 months ago. 7.5 minutes is all it took. He got his bell rung a couple times, but he fucking got it done. He put Conor away. But my heart says, Conor's kind of a magical Irishman, isn't he? He's kind of magical. Sometimes he pulls off crazy shit. He's magic, you know?
Magic. That's the reason.
He's like the magic.
Yes. But that's why my official pick, that's why my official pick, Fred, is Dustin Poirier. Because I will always go with my brain over the heart. But, especially for fight picks, because that's what makes sense. But there's something about Conor that you can't count him out of this fight. You can't. No matter what you say, no matter how much you may pick Dustin Poirier, and I'm picking him to win too. I think Dustin wins, and I think he gets it done in similar fashion. I think he beats Conor. I think he probably taps him out this time. I think he probably does a little bit more groundwork and beats him up on the ground and maybe gets a rear naked choke. I think that's kind of how Dustin wins. I think Dustin by submission would be my ultimate pick for this, but I won't be surprised if Conor McGregor does knock him out. And I tell you, I won't be mad either because, like I said, Conor's good for the sport. I like the magic to continue. We like magic. You know, the improbable is fun, right, Fred? Hold on, AJ. Let Fred go.
I was going to say, right now I'm seeing that Poirier is the favorite, which I'm kind of a little bit surprised because odds often have to do with who gets a lot of money on them, and I would think people would be betting on McGregor because he has such a big fan base, but Poirier is the favorite. So, look, it's a tough one to call. I agree with Dave. It could go either way. My logical choice is going to be Dustin Poirier because I think he's training full-time. He's taking this seriously, not just this fight. He takes every fight seriously, whereas I'm not convinced with Conor. You know, maybe this one he'll take it seriously, but did he take the previous one seriously? He pretty much admitted that, no, you know, he took Dustin lightly. And that ends up catching up. You know, at this level, you can't be taking fights off. Like, you got to be serious for every fight. Take your training to the optimum level. Like, you got to live that life. So I think Poirier is still living that life, so he's going to be my official pick.
Yeah.
Listen, Dave, I got to just say a couple of things. One, you're right. With Poirier going by submission, if you're going with that, I was looking at some of the stats, and that's at plus 750. So if Poirier can pull off a submission, it's a pretty good payoff. But there's something that's interesting, and you know I'm going with Conor on this just because of the Magic Mike thing. I believe in the magic rope. I believe in the magic leprechaun.
Wasn't that a movie about male strippers?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So listen to this. So this is one thing that I saw, which was pretty interesting as a stat goes. So if you're looking at, like, betting stats and whatnot, a fighter that's entering, like, fighters that are entering into the third fight, the trilogy fight, the fighter who's won the second fight statistically is showing that 70% of the time they win. So that's why there's a lot of money on Poirier, because when you're looking at those stats, 70% of the time, the guy who's won the second fight will win that third fight. That's what they're going with. To be honest, back to what Freddie was saying, like, Conor, like, not taking things serious and whatnot. Conor takes everything serious. He takes everything serious as far back as when he was 12 years old and analyzing fights that he's had as a kid. The guy for those 15, 20 minutes that people make promos on, like, media, Instagram, whatever, showing Conor just chilling back and drinking his mimosa and having, like, donuts or whatever, the majority of the time, this guy is studying fights inside out. He made a mistake with Dustin on that second fight, and it comes back to the fight. If you look at his stance, it wasn't the typical Conor McGregor low karate stance, really, like, able to check those legs. He was in a box. He was full. He was throwing those jabs. He was great, but his legs were noodles, and that's what took him out of the game. Where I don't understand is that, you know, it happens. Fighters like George St. Pierre, who lost to Matt Serra, we've seen a lot of fighters that have lost the edge because in that moment, they just forget. And it was interesting to know
that's
that
not
Conor,
what that was.
Conor,
though.
Yes, it was. Conor lost because of those calf kicks. But if those calf kicks weren't there, and I can assure you, Poirier's going to try to throw them on Saturday. I can assure you, Conor will take away all those kicks. I'm telling you, Conor's coming back from the mistake, and he's going to win this. Regardless of what the stats say and whatnot, I have a lot of faith in the Magic Mike, the Magic Mac, the Magic Rope. I don't care. I believe in Conor, and he's going to take it. There's something about him, and I've seen some training videos and whatnot. This guy is looking to win. And there's one thing with him. You know, it's not like he doesn't know Dustin Poirier. You know, that was one of if you look at the first fight that they had, yeah, it was a different time. Poirier is an amazing fighter. I love this guy and all. But you know what? Conor's going to come and play the game that he usually does, and I'm telling you, he's going to knock him out.
Patrick C. Hamilton says, it will go to the judges. Can't pick a winner, but he thinks it's going the distance. Thank you for the Super Chat, Patrick. You are the Super Chat leader of the night out in Regina, Saskatchewan, our man Patrick. Doug Hepburn says, I'm going with McGregor. I'm a proper whiskey guy.
Proper 12.
Shout out to Miss Brooklyn as well. Angelo in the chat. Shout out to everybody
Doug's
watching us in the chat. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all the things. Hey, Dana White's finally taking the stage, guys. I don't know if you were aware of this, but there's a press conference about to go down, a Conor, a Dustin press conference. Yeah, it's about to happen.
Don't tell me they're going to cancel the fight or something. Crazy.
No, it's a press conference for the fight. You know, they do that. It's fight week, you know. That's why we're doing the preview, AJ. We're going to be on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, to watch the UFC 264 pay-per-view with you right here. We're going to give you our parlay picks in just a moment for the rest of the card. Guys, officially, Freddie, who you going with here? Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. You got Dustin by... Tough.
Dustin, man, it's a hard one, man. I could see a lot of different finishes to this fight, like you said, including Conor by decision or by KO. But I'm going to go with Dustin by TKO, like last time, something similar.
I've got Dustin by submission. AJ, what do you got?
I'm going with what George said. I think Conor's going to knock him out in the second. Yeah. I think it's going to be a different fight. I think Conor's going to come out hard, and he's going to prove that it was a mistake, that second fight with them. That's what it's going to come down to. Conor is going to win this, and I'm going with George St. Pierre, which I never go with George's picks because he's generally, like, not always right. But this time I'm going with it.
Well, I don't know what to say about this main event. It's really tough to pick. It's going to be a great fight. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens. I need to know what's going to go down. Oh, Conor's trying to, like, fight Dustin Poirier right now at the press conference.
What?
Dana White having to kind of get in between him. Conor's like, Conor doesn't seem to be able to be anywhere near this guy. Conor's super mad. He's trying to get in his face.
Send donation, McNugget.
He didn't give it?
I think he sent something to somebody else. But this is a big-time fight, man. I'm really excited to see what happens.
UFC,
like,
countdown. I watched it. It was excellent. And it, yeah. Like, these days, I don't watch all the countdowns, but this one was very good. Good production where it made you feel like in a movie, as if you really want to see it. So I'm hyped for this weekend. Finally a big fight. And it should be fun, man. Let's just enjoy it. Yeah. Like I don't feel like this is one of these fights where I don't feel like I really have a dog in here. Like if Conor wins, I'm happy. It continues. If Dustin wins, I'm happy also because he's a good guy and he's on a good streak. So either way, man, I think we're going to watch this fight for the spectacle. It's going to be a good one.
But not only this fight, man. If you look at the full card, man, you've got everybody like from Ryan Hall to Conor fighting. I mean, the whole card, Stephen
yes.
Thompson. I mean, it's stacked.
Let's
man.
Get to it.
This
Let's
is
get
a
to
card.
The co-main event
this
here.
This is a real pay-per-view fight that's worth the money.
Okay,
Holy
co-main
smokes,
event.
Man.
Gilbert Burns versus
what the hell was that?
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I don't know. There's a lot going on. Angelo dropping a super chat. Angelo, the new super chat leader of the night. With that super chat, he says, I'm with Team AJ on this fight. Sorry, Dave. That's okay. Angelo going with Connor. Wally saying, when he fought Diaz in the second fight, I could not see any way Connor could win after the first one. And although it was close, he managed to get it done somehow. I think. Uh-oh.
Exactly.
So I think he's going with Connor here. The thing cut off. I didn't get his whole thing here in my chat. But I think Wally's going with Connor. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, that first fight with Diaz, it was something. But let's not forget, you know, Conor was preparing to fight Dustin Poirier in January. When he fought Nate Diaz, he was preparing to fight Rafael Dos Anjos. It was a different deal. And he was preparing to fight Rafael Dos Anjos at 155 pounds. He wound up fighting Nate Diaz at 170 because Diaz was, you know, not in fight camp and he wasn't able to make 155 on like 8 days notice. So Conor wound up kind of bulking up on really short notice to fight Nate Diaz. So it was, you know, Conor came in to that fight in less than ideal circumstances, whereas the Dustin Poirier fight, you know, he was preparing for a 155 fight. He was preparing for Dustin Poirier. He knew what he was getting into. With the Nate Diaz fight, it was kind of short notice type of thing, right?
Props to Conor. Like, I say a lot of bad things, like I question his dedication, but I'll tell you what, he always shows up. You know, he's a lot of people in that Nate Diaz situation would have just said like, okay, I'm taking off. We'll schedule another fight. I'm not fighting this weekend when Dos Anjos was out. Props to him. He's a fighter inside of him. Like, he always shows up. I just need to be convinced that, you know, when he was going up for Jose Aldo, I was convinced that this guy was living the MMA life. I'm more convinced, you know, he's living the party life. And at some point, I think it catches up to you. You can't just be partying. Like, you got to be living the MMA life. I saw Khabib, a video of Khabib this week where he was saying that, like, you gotta live that life. You know, you got to be completely dedicated to the sport if you're going to be at the number one level.
Yeah, you have to be in it 100%. And you can't be in it 100%. Take time off, be in it kind of 50% for a while, and then you lose to Dustin Poirier and say, okay, now I'm going to be in it 100%. It doesn't work that way. And he may have been living that MMA life for the past 6 months since he lost to Dustin Poirier. He may want it real bad, but wanting it and working for it for 6 months is different than being able to do it and having the ability to get it done here against a guy who's really living that MMA life. So we'll see. Conor has that knockout ability. I mean, I think he could definitely knock out Dustin Poirier. He's a very talented striker. If he can keep it on his feet for five rounds, I could see him outpointing Dustin Poirier. But I just think he's going to get finished. I don't think he's going to have the gas tank to kind of lasso Poirier. I think he's going to get hit. I think he's going to get hurt. And I think he's going to wilt. I think he's going to... I mean, it sucks to say, but when you
striker.
See Conor lose, he kind of quits. You can break Conor. You know what I mean? Like, when he fought Nate Diaz, he broke. He shot for a takedown that he knew he wasn't going to get because he was done. He was like, I'm fucking done. Like, Conor, sometimes, like, you hurt him, you fuck him up, he gets tired, he gets beat up, and he kind of quits in there. Like, Khabib broke him, Nate broke him, and to an extent, Dustin kind of broke him in there. You know, he kept kicking him in the leg, and, you know, he took a few shots, but Conor didn't lose consciousness. He went down, he was hurt. But he got broken, you know, and there's a lot of shit talk before the fight. But if you really pressure him and you really hurt him and you really put him into a dogfight, like, we've never seen Conor dropped and then come back and win, I don't think. You know, like,
no,
he breaks. He breaks. And I think Dustin can break him again. I mean, Conor is a fucking warrior. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about Conor, but it's just, you know, when he loses, guys that are fucking beasts as well tend to break him, it seems like, mentally and physically. You know, he can be taken out.
Well, that's the one thing with Poirier, man. He has, like, these blasts of aggression, and that's the thing.
Poirier doesn't break.
Overwhelming.
Watch the Max Holloway fight.
Yeah, Poirier doesn't break.
Watch that Holloway fight. He's not breaking for anything.
Listen, man. No, he's not. And we've seen that through his career, man. When he was fighting for like a couple hundred dollars in like these backyard fighting circuits. I mean, this guy has done the time, and he is tough as tough can be. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? So is Conor. And that's the thing. Conor didn't come from any, well-to-do means. I mean, the guy like made his bones as well. He had a rough ride. And you're right. People get comfortable when they're at the top. We've seen that with a lot of fighters. Like, you know, we've seen that with Tyson. We've seen that even with George at one point when he lost to Sarah. And you know, and Freddie knows that, like, George was living a pretty good life there. You know, he wasn't eating, minced meat. He was eating filet mignon every day. So it's a different story, man. It's normal. People break. But the thing with Conor is that
it's tough to have that motivation.
But you're right. But the only way guys at the top get motivated when they have all the money and they have everything in the world is like the ego. And that's the thing with Conor. Conor's ego got deflated on that second fight with Poirier. And that kills him more than anything. I'm telling you, this guy here wants to win. And that's what makes him dangerous. And that's what drives a guy like that. I'm not looking at the press conference, but from what you're telling me, you know, if Conor is starting to go after him, look how nice Conor was with Poirier in the second fight. It wasn't the regular Conor trash talk.
Of course, it was Conor
trading hot sauce and freaking like proper 12 and muffins and all that kind of bullshit. That's not Conor. You want Conor that gets into your head. And I saw Wally that says, yeah, Floyd did break Conor, but Conor still took Floyd to 10 rounds.
Okay.
And that's
right. We're not going to go back on that.
The bottom line is,
but
I know. But that's the thing with Conor, man.
Right. So Conor.
Listen, man. Conor.
He's fucking AJ. Are you good, AJ? Are you all right?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Italy, Sunday. Go ahead, Dave.
There's a difference between wanting it and being able to do it. A lot of guys in the UFC want to win fights and lose. Happens all the time.
Yeah. I remember UFC 94. Go watch the preview, the countdown, or the prime time. Maybe they did for that one. BJ Penn finishes, like, one of the final moments of that one is BJ Penn just saying, like, I want it. I'm going to win because I want it. And you could want it as much as you want, man. If you didn't prepare for it, if the other guy's more prepared, you're going to lose. And that's what happened to BJ Penn. And I think that's what's going to happen to Conor also.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Perfect example. Freddie Garcia laying it down once again. Gilbert Burns, Stephen.
MMA historian.
That's right. Freddie's an OG of the game. Freddie was at UFC 100, okay? Don't fuck around with Fred. Fred's been around.
I was at 94 also, so.
That's right.
But I saw UFC 1, so that's what I have above you guys.
Yeah, because
I actually watched this.
You were like 45 years old when it happened, and
you were old enough to rent it.
You were hanging out
with
Helio.
You had your own apartment.
Helio was like, hey, look at my son. He's going to kick ass tonight. And you're like, I know, Helio, I know. You're my buddy, Helio.
Helio, man.
We're friends. You and Helio.
You know what? Helio was the best, man.
You're actually 98 years old. It's crazy.
UFC
you look
one,
great
man.
For
Think
98.
About it, man. So did Helio, man. And then he died, I think, at 92. I think he was doing jiu-jitsu in the morning, and then he passed away in the afternoon. The guy was a beast. Now, that is a real OG.
How about the co-main event? Can we talk about it, or you want to
forget
about it?
No. What are you talking about? It's Wonderboy Thompson, man.
Wonderboy is...
Let's not spend 45 minutes on it, but...
I agree. Wonderboy minus 160, the favorite. Gilbert Burns plus 135, the underdog. Wonderboy is the favorite here. Wally dropping it. Super chat. Thank you, Wally. He says, Freddie at 100. I was at 200, and we should all go to 300. Oh, that's cool. When's 300? That's in a while, maybe.
That would be awesome, man.
300 would be cool.
Say a year and a half.
Yeah, that's possible.
No, we got to go to Wally's wedding. That's where we got to go. Forget about the 300. We're going to Wally's wedding. That's going to be the real deal, man.
Yeah, we're going to try to go.
And we're
going
to get Conor to come to Wally's wedding. I swear to God, if I go to Ireland, I'm going to do everything I can to get Conor McGregor at Wally's wedding. You know I'm going to do it, Dave. You know I'm going to do it. The minute I step off the plane in Dublin, I'm going to find out where Conor lives, and I'm going
you're
to his house. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. You know me. I'm going to do it. I've done
you're
worse.
Not gonna do it.
I've done worse.
Yeah, remember okay, like 3 years ago when you're like, Dave, I'm going to get Drake on the show. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to have Drake on the show. I'm telling you. I guarantee you I'm going to do it. How'd that work out for you?
Damn that Drake.
I was like, yeah, sure you are, AJ. I was like, why is Drake going to do our show?
I swear to I tried to reach out to Drake. He's not a cool guy. I sent him an email. Maybe the email wasn't so good to say, yeah, I remember you on Degrassi. You're the guy in the wheelchair. And okay, that was a mistake, I admit. But I tried to reach out to this guy. At least he could have said something. He could have said something like, oh, listen, man, I'm not into it. I've had other guys say, Drake's listen, fault. I'm not into it. I'm fucking Drake, man. I'm a Canadian too, Drake. I'm a Canadian too. That's not cool.
Fuck you, Drake.
I'll remember you when I
make
– fuck you, Drake.
I like Drake. I don't want to say anything bad about Drake. Me and Fred went to a Drake concert once. It was quite a time. It was quite a time.
Yeah. That was great.
My goodness. That was quite a show. Gilbert Burns and Wonder Boy co-main event here. Who you guys got? What do you guys think? I got Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy's the favorite. Gilbert's coming off that loss to Usman. He got smashed pretty good there. A lot of people think Gilbert's kind of like this young up-and-comer, but he's 34 years old. Like, he's kind of been around the block. Wonder Boy, 38 years old, also been around for a while, but he's very good. He's very difficult to solve. He's quite tall. He's rangy. I think he's going to be a problem for Gilbert Burns. It's a 3-round fight. I think Wonder Boy's going to find a way to win 2 of the 3 rounds. I don't see Gilbert Burns getting the takedowns that he needs to submit Wonder Boy. If he's going to beat him, he's going to knock him out. And, you know, he might be able to do it, but I don't think he's going to be able to touch him with that shot that he needs to put Wonder Boy down. So I've got Wonder Boy winning a decision in this one.
You know what? This is going to be the fight of the night, I think, in my opinion. And you know what? You're right. Wonder Boy, man, if he's able, he has one of the best takedown defenses. I think it's at 78% effective. And that's the thing that Gilbert Burns needs to do. He needs to get in and take Thompson down. And really, he might not submit him, which I think he can. As an ADCC champion, man, the guy was a bronze medalist. This guy's won medals galore in jiu-jitsu. But, you know, the thing with Burns is that he has a heavy hand, man. He can strike. This guy is amazing. And you know what? As long as Thompson keeps that long range, keeps Burns away, and really uses his, like, karate style, he's going to win this fight. But you know what? I was surprised with the Usman fight. I thought Burns was going to do a lot better. But I really think in this fight, I think Burns is going to do what he needs to do. He's going to beat Thompson, and I think he's going to take him down. I think it is going to be a stoppage, and that's, super in chance, my opinion, how it's going to go down.
All right. AJ's got Gilbert Burns. Freddie, break the tie.
I'm going to go also with Stephen Thompson by decision. And you see, AJ said it's going to be fight of the night. I think it's going to be a good fight, but I could see Stephen Thompson not getting hit much, moving a lot more, and it's going to be a fun fight, but I don't see this as being fight of the night. And I got Thompson by decision.
There you go. We got Wonder Boy Thompson. Doug Hepburn says, thanks, AJ. I'm happy now. Go Italia on Sunday. Why is he thanking AJ?
Yeah, what, man. Listen, let Doug.
Why is
listen,
Doug thanking AJ?
Doug,
I don't understand.
Because Doug knows, man. Doug knows.
Oh, Caesars Hotels. Caesars Hotels are now a sponsor of the Ringside Report Network. So if you want to book your trip to Las Vegas, that's right. We're now sponsored by the Caesars Hotel and Casinos in Las Vegas, Nevada. Book your stay at vegas.ringsidereport.net to book your trip to beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada for your next UFC trip. And for sure, if we're going to UFC 300, it will be in Las Vegas. And we'll be booking just like you will be at Caesars, because Caesars Hotels are now sponsor of the Ringside Report Network, baby. Go to vegas.ringsidereport.net to book your trip to Las Vegas.
Italian mob. That's awesome, man. Dave, my dream is getting closer. I said it, man. I've been saying it
for
the longest time.
We're getting there, AJ. It's coming together, baby. Vegas.
We're going to Vegas, baby, and we're gonna get GMAC to like do the itinerary. It's going to be sick. Caesars, I love you. I've always loved Caesars.
Okay,
Italian
but
soccer, Italian mob.
First
Caesars
stop
is the place. They make great Caesars.
Freddie,
great
first stop, dispensaries. Like, as soon as we get off the plane, we take a car
gun
to
range
the dispensaries. Dispensaries and then gun range, Fred. Imagine how much fun that will be.
Wearing a Trump shirt. I'm going to go to a gun range wearing a Trump
sure,
MAGA hat.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll fit in. I don't think that'll be out of place at a gun range. Seems about right, no? All right. I think this next fight might be fight of the night. Tai Tuivasa and Greg Hardy. These two big motherfuckers are going to beat the shit out of each other. This is going to be fun. And Greg Hardy is the underdog, and I hate to say it. I don't like Greg Hardy. I wish him nothing but the worst. But at plus 117, I think he beats Tai Tuivasa. I think he puts him down. I got Greg Hardy to win. Greg Hardy, you know, he's big and strong and scary, and he's lost a couple fights. Marcin Tybura, Alexander Volkov, but those guys are real fucking monsters. And Tai Tuivasa is good too, but I don't know if he's on the same level of a Tybura or a Volkov. So I think Tuivasa is going to go in there, mix it up with Greg Hardy, and it's going to be a bad idea for him. I think he's going to go down. I got Greg Hardy by upset. He's an upset pick for me on the main card.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fan favorite for a reason, and he's also a favorite in the betting odds. I think Tai, in my opinion, is gonna probably win this fight. If he's able to keep with that leg-kicking game, man, he's going to be able to beat Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy has that power punch. Yeah, man, listen. It's not like Tai sometimes, like, he disappoints me in the way he fights, but in general, when he's on his game, man, and he's got the striking game to go, like, it's really working for him that night, he's going to win it. So I'm going to go with the odds makers and the fans. I'm going with Tai on this. I hope Hardy goes down, man. And I have nothing against the guy. I mean, you really hate him, but
whatever.
I'm going to go with Tai because he's a big guy also, so I think he's going to be hard on Hardy. Like, Hardy is a dangerous, probably a better athlete, but Tai is a real fighter. Like, he's more a fighter in the blood, and he's a big guy. So it's going to be tough for Greg Hardy to deal with that. I'm going to go Tai by decision.
Listen, man, he's Stefan's truth, too, who was a huge mother. And you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Right. He's had some bad losses, but like, he's won his last two fights he's won, and Hardy's coming up. He lost his last one, Hardy. So we'll see how he goes.
Irene Aldana.
I'm surprised that Hardy has gone this far, to be honest. Think about it. I'm surprised.
Yeah, me too.
I'm surprised Greg Hardy has gone this far in the UFC career. I'll be honest. Remember when we first saw his fight, you were like, I hope this guy gets smashed and it's over. We don't see him again. Here he is a couple of years later and he's still there.
He's 6'5 and Ty's 6'2. I just think he's just going to be bigger and stronger. And this is going to be like a Rock'em Sock'em Robot fight. And Greg Hardy's going to stay up. I think, but hey, who knows? Irene Aldana.
If Ty wins, I want to see him do his shui.
God damn it. What about this next fight? Aldana Kunitskaya. You got any thoughts on this one, AJ? Kunitskaya is the underdog, plus 103. Aldana minus 125, the favorite.
Not really. I don't have much on this.
Yeah, good. Sean O'Malley is a huge favorite against this guy, Moutinho. Moutinho, I think, is coming in on short notice, right? It was supposed to be Lewis Smolka, but instead it's Moutinho versus Sean O'Malley. O'Malley should definitely win. Minus 909, the biggest favorite on this whole card. Moutinho plus 580, the underdog. Prelim card has some pretty good stuff. Carlos Condit fights Max Griffin. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What, AJ? You want to talk about Sean O'Malley in a fight where he's like a 9-1 favorite?
Sean O'Malley? That's all you gave Sean O'Malley was like
30 seconds. Yeah, who cares?
Holy
he's fighting a nobody in this stupid fight. It shouldn't even happen.
Well, no, he's not a
Sean
nobody.
Sean O'Malley had his fucking fight canceled, and every bantamweight in the UFC said, hey, can I fight Sean O'Malley? Then the UFC finds this guy, Moutinho, to give Sean O'Malley an easy fight. We could talk about that if you want to. Why is Sean O'Malley getting an easy fight here?
Well, it's not an easy fight. It's just,
he's the biggest favorite on the card. It's a ridiculous number favorite.
Listen, man, I remember seeing this guy. Like, he has 9 wins, 4 losses. He came out of the Cage Fury Fighting Championship 96.
Yeah, pick him to win. Look, pick him to win. I double dare you. Put him on your parlay, Moutinho.
No, you're not, because
what's going to happen. Come on, man. Sean O'Malley is a lock.
But that's what I'm saying.
But who cares? Listen,
but that's why you put him on your parlay. You take O'Malley and you put him on your parlay for the win.
No, I don't think so. He's not really worth the value because he fucking minus 909. What if he loses and fucks up your parlay? Weird shit happens. He could kick the guy in the balls and get disqualified. Hey, man. Weird shit happens.
You know what I'm thinking, Dave?
Two eye pokes. Ball kick.
What?
Oh, the ball kick was nasty, man.
Ball kicks happen all the time, okay?
like a little bit too much lately in the UFC, I find. Everybody's getting like their pecker whacked, and it's like it's out of control. They got to do something. They got to change the gloves, and they got to change the jock straps. But I just thought of something, man. You want to hear it?
Hear what?
Go for it.
No, I don't want to hear it. Super what was it?
No. Hear me out. It's outside of the fight. It just hit me. Come on, just hear me out. Now that Caesar's Palace is our sponsor, or Caesar's, while he's getting married, we could have like the stag in Vegas. That would be amazing, man.
It's a lot of travel.
I just thought of that. Just
suggesting here. I don't know what you're planning.
Well, no, as long as you get your vaccine, we're good, man.
Okay.
I got my first.
Antoinette says, hi, guys, and nice shirt, AJ. Forza Italia! Forza Azzurri! Very excited about Italy coming up on Sunday. Big game for Italy. Italia! Antoinette, of course, liking your shirt there. AJ, Patrick C. Hamilton says, is there any way to make money on this card? Let's
Ryan
try
Hall.
And help.
Put all your money
Let's
on Ryan Hall.
Try and help. And that's where I think we're going to go. AJ, we had the same idea. Patrick C. Hamilton asking a very good question. How do you make money at UFC 264? Well, and Wally's saying, Pecker Whack deserves a super chat. Thank you, Wally. Too many guys getting their pecker whack these days in the UFC. AJ doesn't like it. AJ doesn't like anybody getting his pecker whacked.
No. I don't like people getting their pecker whacked. But I'm glad like they use pecker in Ireland because I know Wally had like this thing on his show where there's like 1,000 different names for snowflakes in the Scandinavian countries, but there's only one word here. You get your pecker whacked, it hurts.
Okay, so we've got some fights here that we're looking at as far as what do we do, who we putting money on, and how do we win money at UFC 264.
I got my parlay ready.
Freddie's got his parlay, and let's do that. Let's help our buddy Patrick out. Let's help everybody out, and let's get the parlay set. Freddie, give it to me. I am ready. We are over at bet99.com. Do not forget to – oh, I'm trying to get that there for us. There you go. You guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, here you are.
Okay, here, good.
Go ahead.
Good.
Don't be shy.
There we are at bet99.com. Freddie, what's your parlay? Give it to me.
Dustin Poirier, Ryan Hall, Stephen Thompson, Tai Tuivasa.
There you go. That is Freddie's four-fight parlay right there, going with Poirier, Thompson, Tuivasa, and Hall. We'll put $20 down on that parlay. At plus 1266, that's a $273 profit on a $20 bet. That is Team Freddy,
nice.
Poirier, Wonderboy, Ty, and Hall. AJ, my man, what do you got for
me? Listen, man, you know I'm going with Conor McGregor on this. I think Gilbert Burns is going to actually win this fight. I think Ty Tuivasa is taking this fight. I'm going to stay away from the women's bantamweight, but I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley, and I'm going to add another one, which is Ryan Hall. Because Ryan Hall, if you just wanted to bet on one fight, put like $50 down, you go with Ryan Hall. Chances are he's going to win by submission. So if you want to add a little extra to that $50, take the win by submission, you're going to take it. But
so
I'm going with, how many was it, five fights?
That's a five-fight parlay. McGregor, Burns, Tuivasa, O'Malley, and Hall. $20 gets you $521 for Team AJ. That is the Team AJ parlay. Now I gotta figure out my parlay here, guys. What do I do? What is
Dave
gonna
do?
On what?
Do you agree with me on that? On Ryan Hall, man. Just to go with Ryan Hall.
I think Ryan Hall is a very good pick. I think if you want to make a single bet pick, Ryan Hall is a very good pick at plus 185.
Ryan Hall by submission is plus 480 on bet99. Which
that's
the way he's gonna win.
Yeah, you want to make some money.
Yeah, man.
A good grappler also. Like I remember, I read a bit about him. Like he's a good grappler. This is a tough matchup still for Ryan Hall.
Yeah, well, he's the underdog. He's not supposed to win this fight, and the guy he's fighting is undefeated, and he's got good wrestling. So yeah, for sure, there's a possibility that Ryan Hall doesn't win this fight, but you know, Ryan Hall has won a bunch of fights in a row in the UFC. He is one of the best jiu-jitsu players in the world. And if this fight goes to the ground in any kind of way, if Ryan Hall grabs a hold of your leg, you're fucked. It's over. I think Ryan Hall is going to find a way to tap out his opponent here, Ilia Topuria. And
it's not going to be 50-50.
Patrick, I'm telling you, if you're looking for a little bit of money on this card, I think Ryan Hall by submission. I mean, I'm just looking at that right now. You put $20 on Ryan Hall by submission, you're winning $116 over at bet99.com. That's a plus 480. Ryan Hall is plus 480 by submission. So I like that one. And look, we're all putting Ryan Hall on our parlay as well. I mean, that's no mistake. We all of us, I mean, admittedly, we are all super fans of jiu-jitsu. We all love jiu-jitsu, so I think we're kind of biased towards Ryan Hall. But
no, no, no.
The
no,
fact
no,
that we
no,
all
no,
have
no,
Ryan Hall says something about what we're feeling and him as an underdog here.
But it's not because we're biased because we know, like, we do jiu-jitsu. It's because we know jiu-jitsu and we know this guy. We know him as a fighter and we've seen what he's done in the UFC. The guy is like, he's out there. Not too many people want to fight him because they know that one mistake and you're on the ground. The guy is going to destroy you, man. He's gonna lock you up, leg locks, like whatever form of submission he's going to get, especially at his weight category. Ryan Hall is like, he's a beast. And if you're gonna put money to almost say like a sure win, this is it. I was looking at Carlos Condit.
Well,
like, you know what? I think you know like. Like, I like to put money on Carlos. I think he's going to beat Max Griffin. But if you really want a sure bet, out of everything on this card, you go with – you don't think so? All right.
Nah, he didn't look great in his last fight. And
I'll give you my Team Dave parlay here, guys. Team Dave. Where are we? Whoa. Team Dave parlay. I've got Jennifer Maya, who's one of the earlier fights. I think she's definitely going to beat Jessica Ai. I've got Ryan Hall. Plus 185. I've got Dustin Poirier, and I've got Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. $20 gets you 242 over at bet99.com. When you go to bet99.com, use that promo code ringside to get a matching bonus on your initial deposit of up to $600. They will match your deposit on your initial deposit there up to $600 when you use that promo code ringside over at bet99.com. So you got our parlays. Hopefully we win some money for you on Saturday night. That's what we do here on the Ringside Report Network, winning money for the universe, picking the fights for everybody.
And Dave, actually, when you look at all three of our predictions, I mean, at $20, the return is pretty good, man. If they do come out, I mean, you're hitting $200 like on your card, $500 on mine because I got that extra fight. But just with a Ryan Hall, just, you know, a separate bet on the side, a straight bet with the submission, it's a good night, man. You know what? I saw what Wally put. Wally's pretty much going with me. McGregor by KO, Hall by submission, and Burns with the win. He's going with what I'm saying. But the thing is that you know and I know, man, like anything can happen. But there's one thing that won't happen is Hall will never be submitted. That's for sure. You know, and you know.
That's true.
If I had to put 50. You know, let's be honest. There's no way. If you ever want to like the that pony to beat the horses, is Ryan Hall to lose by submission, and you put like $20 down on that. That will never happen. But you never know. Shit has happened in this world, man. You know, we've seen
it.
We've seen Logan Paul.
Jacare
like,
got tapped out last fight.
He did, man. Who would have thought that too? And if you put money down on Jacare being submitted, the payout was awesome.
Would have been huge.
But you know what? That's it, man. Sometimes you got to do like these kind of crazy side bets where like Greece wins the Euro Cup and you put $5,000 years before and you win millions, which actually some guy did. So that shit happens. But you know what? I think it's almost impossible to see like Ryan Hall being submitted.
Well, Topuria by submission is plus 1,000. So Ryan Hall is the underdog to win the fight, but Ryan Hall by submission is plus 480. Topuria to win by submission is plus 1,000. Topuria by knockout is plus 136. By decision is plus 235. So the odds, I mean, people think he's going to win, and people think he's going to knock out Ryan Hall, which I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. Has Ryan Hall ever been knocked out? Ever in his career? You know, never. So I don't see Topuria knocking him out. Maybe he wins by decision if Ryan Hall can't get the submission. But I think Ryan Hall's going to get a hold of his leg at plus 185, the underdog. I think there's value there. And at plus 480 to get the submission, I think there's a lot of value there, too, for Ryan Hall. So I like Ryan Hall in this fight. I think he's a real interesting underdog. There's another underdog. Omari Akhmedov, I think, is the underdog. And I think he takes it from Brad Tavares as well, if you want to throw a couple on that fight. That one's earlier on in the night. Akhmedov plus 145, Brad Tavares minus 179. I've got Omari Akhmedov in that fight. So that's another one to keep your eye on if you're looking to sprinkle a little bit at UFC 264. Angelo dropping the super chat says, great show, guys, as always. Thank you, Angelo. Appreciate you. Awesome show, guys, from Brooklyn Lizard. Thank you. Angelo, you are the super chat leader of the night. Thank you very much to Angelo, to Wally, to Antoinette, to Patrick C. Hamilton, to Douglas Hepburn, to everybody supporting the show tonight. Great support for the Ringside Report Network. We appreciate you guys. And we will see you all again on Saturday night. We will be back here for the Conor McGregor fight. McGregor versus Poirier, UFC 264. Watch along right here on the Ringside Report Network, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. I'll be back here tomorrow night right after SmackDown, 10 p.m. Eastern on Friday with Johnny North to talk some pro wrestling. And that's it, guys.
That's it.
Final thoughts? AJ, you got anything else you want to say? I know you're amped up.
Oh, Italia, man. Let's go. Sunday. And happy birthday, little Freddy.
Yes, happy birthday
to little Freddy. And one last thing.
What?
His birthday's tomorrow, actually.
Like, kudos to the Montreal Canadiens and, like, kudos to the Tampa Bay, like Lightning. I mean,
congrats,
the Canadiens did. No. But Canadians did well, man. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm pretty sure within the next 5 years, Habs are going to take it.
Happy to see a Freedom State win.
My little intern over there, he agrees with me.
All right. And happy birthday to little Freddy tomorrow. And happy birthday to Big Johnny North on Saturday, guys. Don't forget Big Johnny's birthday on Saturday. We all celebrate Big Johnny. What?
You don't do that when you were a kid. Give the bumps. You don't do that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right. We'll talk to you all again on Saturday. And on Saturday, we'll talk to you during the watch-along. We'll definitely get to the whole Cyril Gane, Derek Lewis interim heavyweight title fight situation. Francis Ngannou, you know, what's next for him? John Jones and Stipe Miocic and all that. We'll get into that. You know, we'll have more time on Saturday while we're watching the fight. So a lot more fight talk coming your way on Saturday, whatever we didn't cover tonight. I know we've been off for a couple of weeks. It's been some holidays here, holidays in Quebec and in Canada. Last week was Canada Day. The couple weeks ago was Saint-Jean, so we're on break for a couple of weeks. There's some stuff that we missed, but we're going to cover everything that we missed on Saturday during the watch-along and also cover all the fights that happen in front of us. And thank you, Wally. There you go. Wally dropping a super chat says, happy birthday, Johnny and little Freddy. Big Johnny, little Freddy, happy birthday to everybody, and thank you all for watching. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon.